In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, this is Islam and Life. I'm Mehdi Babagulzadeh, the host for this program. Now, first of all, I would like to welcome our guests for being here. Welcome. And also Dr. Shamli, welcome to the program. Now, today we're going to talk about life skills in Nahjul Balagha. Now, could you tell us what Nahjul Balagha, I mean, tells us about life skills, what advice it gives us,
okay,
and the examples.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Always wa sallallahu
ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala Tayyibin at-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
I need to say salam to all of brothers who are present here, who gifted their time to me. Thank you for your time. Salam. And also I need to express my salam and my greetings to brothers and sisters in Islam who are watching this program. Good question. Because many times when we approach Nahjul Balagha, we talk about worshipping, moralities, you know, religious education, you know, religious belief, aspects of it. Do we have anything with regard to life skills in Nahjul Balagha or in other volumes which we inherited from the Infallible Imams?
Dr. Shamli, see, we are familiar with Nahjul Balagha, but some people, non-Muslims, might not know what Nahjul Balagha is. Could you give us a little hint?
This is, I believe, more important. You know, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we Shia believe that the imamate is a type of institution, successorship for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa taken by 12 infallible imams whom came to this position by the very explicit advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. If you refer to all Fatimi sayings, on the top, the very strong proof for Shia and Shiism is the advent, the occasion of Ghadir Khum. On his last journey, coming from Mecca to Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the point of Juhfa, a known desert nearby Medina, between Mecca and Medina, called old people, old travelers, and they came, and Prophet Muhammad, announced Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib as the very successor. So Fatima al-Zahra strongly invite all of us. If you're looking for any reason, we do not have reason more, stronger and than the event of Ghadir Khum. So by Ghadir Khum, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib came to successorship. Although historically it happened in other way. Historically, it was Abu Bakr, it was Umar, it was Uthman, and it was Ali. So it was the fourth. But idea in terms of belief, belief Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib as the very successor. And the successor must have two main characteristics: infallibility and perfect knowledge. If any imam does not enjoy these two characteristics, he is not imam. Infallibility and perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge with regard to interpretation of Sharia, of revelation. So we are fortunate enough to follow infallible and knowledgeable imams, starting by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and ending with Imam Muhammad al-Mahdi, ajallallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, who will reappear. So one good point that Shia enjoys and Sunni brothers and sisters do not enjoy.
is that we are inherited with a bunch of narrations and traditions from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib up until Imam Mahdi. In according to the, you know, time and place situation, they have provided different gifts, sayings, narrations, as well as sayings and narrations, tradition. Okay? So, Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, when died, after his demise, Shi'i scholars tried to combine and collect sayings of Ahlul Bayt. Mm-hmm. By Ahlul Bayt, we mean Prophet Muhammad, Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatimatul Zahra, and Hassanain. These are Ahlul Bayt at the beginning. Then, children of Ali and Fatima, which come all together 12. Not more, not less. Okay? So, one of the Shi'i scholars who called Sayyid Radi collected a part of Alawi sayings. He says that I tried my best, but unfortunately I couldn't collect all sayings of Ali ibn Abi Talib. It seems that he has collected one-tenth of all Alawi sayings in form of Nahjul Balagha. Mm-hmm. And they are so precious in terms of oral and command of language that Sayyid Radi called Nahjul Balagha, the way of talk, the way of approach to your addressee. So, Nahjul Balagha is a volume which includes one-tenth of Alawi sayings, and these one-tenth, even you come up with ocean of knowledge with regard to belief system, with regard to morality and moral values, with regard to rulings, with regard to the history and lessons that we could take from history, and also with regard to life skill. How could we live in a qualified way?
Yes, thank you. A group of scholars from United Nations declared the letter of Imam Ali, which was written for Malik Ashtar, as the best written document about social justice. Kind. No other document is better than this letter. A feminist who was exiled by Ziaul Haq from Pakistan to India, she returned back to Pakistan, and when she was reading Nahjul Balagha, she said, I really feel sorry that, you know, that we have pressure, but we are ignoring about it. And the last point regarding Nahjul Balagha, George Jardak, a Christian scholar from Lebanon, has written a book called Voice of Justice about Imam Ali. And in that book, he says that the Charter of Human Rights have been written by more than 100 intellectuals, politicians, philosophers. But the human rights which had been advocated and written by Imam Ali has been better than the human rights which have been written by is full of the sayings and letters and speeches and advices and short quotations of Imam Ali, which, as Doctor said, it is really a great source. And the last point, Sheikh Muhammad Abdo is deeply affected. Sheikh Muhammad Abdo, the great scholar of Egypt, has very deep appreciation for the Nahjul Balagha, and indeed he has written a tafsir commentary about it.
Thank you, Mr. Hussaini. Now, okay, so what does it say about life skills?
Yeah. I know that you may come up with different questions. Please, you know, raise your hand, because any other way, I'm not able to give your time. But just I provide you some examples of life skills in Nahjul Balagha, then you provide me your comments. Okay. First, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, says that life skills is the very byproduct of your reasoning and your wisdom. You come up with life skills when you are able to use your wisdom, your reasoning throughout experience, through experience.
Are endowed with two different types of wisdom. Bihar al-Anwar, volume 75, page 7, taken from Nahjul Balagha. Says Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, says Al-Aqlu Aqlan. We human beings, two types of wisdom. Aqlu Taba wa Aqlu Tajriba.
Which means?
Wisdom by nature and wisdom by experience. It's not the case that you are born wise. Of course, genetic in physiological inheritance, you are endowed with the capacity of thinking, problem solving, thinking, analysis, and all types of activities. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib says, Al-aqlu aqlan. We have two types of wisdom. Aqlu taba, wisdom by nature, without any learning, experience. It's not acquired. It's with you. It's in it. Wa aqlu tajriba, and the wisdom that you come up with through
experiences
and practices. Practices, practice makes
perfect.
Perfect. So, and kilahuma yuaddi ila al-manfa'a, and you are in need of both. Those who stay just with aqlu tab, wisdom by nature, they are not
so complete.
Perfect. You need both. He said, do you know why I am emphasizing on the importance and necessity of both? Because if you stay with one of them, you have just one side of the token. And you're deprived, and there are needs in your life that you need both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted you of both. And raises one good question. Who is the person? Can you tell me? Who is the wisest person?
Okay, can anyone answer?
The wisest person is a person that if at the end of his life you ask him which direction would you like to go back, he says, from the direction which I chose in the first stage, I go again to the same direction. In another word, he is not regretting what he did in the past.
Oh,
he is happy from the beginning, like prophets Masumin. If you ask them, they don't say that, sorry, I made mistakes and sins, I want to be a different person. They do as they did in the first stage. These are
Brother Husseini provided me the answer through a gestalt approach. This is a very important and very nice answer. Who is the wisest? The one when he look back to his life. He's so happy that if someone asks that, what do you do? If you go back at your first point, he say, I would repeat the same as I did. He's so sure, so certain that he says, I was so careful about my life, moments by moments, that I would do the same as I did. This is first. But if we want to look at the wisest person, not in a gestalt general way, you know, one, now, presently, what do you think in this session, today, in the afternoon, who is the wisest person?
Does anyone have the answer?
Don't take the whole life.
Okay. Person is somebody who knows the present time, the precious time.
Knows that the present time,
because
he's not stuck with the past, not with the future. He's enjoying
the present.
The present.
Because they're really looking to the present and past and future. Find out that the past now does not exist, future does not exist, but present does exist. So we should use the existence. We shouldn't look for the things which are unavailable.
What do you think? this side.
Awareness basically is someone who does not repeat what he did wrong.
What his or her mistakes.
Yeah, mistakes. You know.
Oh my God. Yes. Very nice answer.
Yes, I think that's what I.
Very nice answer.
Any other
the wisest or? Person in the life, the more skillful, the most skillful person in the life is the one who does not repeat his or her mistakes once. And we have a narration from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La yulsa'u al-mu'min marratayn. Mu'min is not be bitten from one hole two times. Just once. Twice. Once. What? Then you take lesson. Go ahead.
I think my answer is somehow like Ali's answer. Wisest person. The wisest person is a person who get use of his past, his experience, and make it, use it for the future.
And make a more fruitful future. Thank you. Thank you. That's you. Could I just give you Alavi's answer?
Yes.
Imam Ali, it's good to have this answer beside your answer. Then you judge.
It is the best, I think.
Yeah, it's so clever and so precise. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says, وَلَيْسَ الْعَاقِلُ مَنْ يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ. Normally, when we want to judge about people, we say, who is the wisest person? The wisest person is the one who is able to differentiate between good and bad, good and evil. Who is the wisest? He does not make a mistake. When do we do mistakes? When we are not able to differentiate what is good and what is bad. We perform bad in turn of good, or good in turn of bad, okay? Amirul Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, this is important. You need to be able to differentiate between good and bad, good and evil. لَيْسَ الْعَارِفُ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ وَلَكِنَّ الْعَاقِلْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُ خَيْرَ الشَّرَّيْنِ. Life is full of evil. Whether you like or dislike, there is no escape. There is no choice not to do, not to perform any mistakes. It's there. From the early morning up until night, we perform many things that at the end of the day we say, oh my God, I wish I couldn't be there. I couldn't do this. Amir al-Mu'minin salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, try to know what is the best type of evil from among two evils. This is bad and this is bad. And there is no third choice for you. What do you take? The one which has less disadvantage. This is very beautiful. Al-aqilu man ya'rifu khayra sharra'i. Always in your life, you're taking, take and give, take and give. Okay? Try to take something which is more beneficial than what you give. This is the wisest. This is the top skill that we need in life. This is first. Okay?
Our friend Ali has something to say.
Is it in hadith, sorry to interrupt you. Certain hadith I read about Imam Ali, a kind of advice that he gave to Imam Hussein, salatullah salamu alayhi. He said, يا بني لا بد من عاقل أن يعرف نفسه وأن يحفظ لسانه وأن يعرف أهل زمانه.
Okay.
Sometimes I do think about it. I don't understand it. Sometimes I do understand it, but I think it's just, you know. So sometimes when I'm memorizing it in my
can you just repeat and explain it?
لا بد يا بني لابد من عاقل أن يعرف نفسه وأن يحفظ لسانه وأن يعرف أهل زمانه.
Oh my God.
I just interpret it as I understand it physically, but I think it has a deep, very deep meaning, you know.
So the wise person is the one
who
is able to first.
عاقل أن يعرف نفسه who knows or understands himself. وأن يحفظ لسانه
is just able to control
his tongue. وأن يعرف أهل زمانه to know whom he lives with. You know, I don't understand it. Sometimes I do. A certain hadith too I read about Imam is that he said, "عجب to be هذا الإنسان الذي يرى بشحم أو بحشم بشحم ويسمع بأزم ويتكلم باللحم." You know, and I wonder, you know, the way he, you know, now their scientists are now, you know, trying to discover certain things like that, that human beings sees with the veins, talks with head with bone, talk with this kind of, but Imam just said it so many years ago, which means I think Imam is, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
We ought to highlight a lot.
This is looking at Allah, he's saying from.
Thank you. It's very, very, you know.
Dr. Shamali, Mr.
You reminded me of a discussion.
You are keeping silent today. What happened to you?
You reminded me of a story in the book of Tazkirat al-Awliya written by Sheikh Fariduddin Attar, which shows the superiority of Ahl al-Bayt over other personalities, although they may be scholars. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has Imam Abu Hanifa, the founder of Hanafi school of thought, can you tell me what is aql? And he said, aql is to choose between khair and shar, between and good, between good and bad. Imam Sadiq said that this is a knowledge which even animals possess.
Exactly.
An animal knows that between
what
eating
eat and, what
and
not
beating, the animal prefers eating. What special message does aql have for the human being? Then Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, okay, you please. Gave us a definition for aql. And Imam Sadiq said what you exactly said, that an aql person is he who chooses between two evils, the least evil. Mm-hmm. And between two good points, he chooses the better ones. This is aql.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much. Thank This was two examples. Third example, life skills. Sometimes suffer, not being able to receive blessings, divine blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and continuously is showering us with different types of blessings. We ourselves lack not to be showered, not to receive. This is a skill we need to have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a giver, fayyad. He's the giver. But we block. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi said, do you know what is the we are, sorry, this is my word, so stupid that we block, not to receive. While the code is in our hand. The code, the very code is in our hand. How? I remember that my professor, Ayatollah Allama Misbah Yazdi, Hafadhullah, told me that I Allama so many years, maybe 3 decades.
Which is a long time.
Long, long time. 3 decades.
just for Quran interpretation. He said, I was with him. And one came. After these long, long period of time, what did you come up with regard to the Quranic teachings? Do you remember one particular verse or one particular chapter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in a very strong way? Allah said, yes. There are some spaces, some examples, some cases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the divine tradition. Sunnatullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides his sunan, his way of action, his way of lordship, his way of divine management. These are sunnatullah. La tabdil. When something is the divine management, there is no change. Everything is permanent. Allama said, when I came across this verse, I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the power, the command of language. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Explicitly, in a very explicit way, إِذْ تَأَذَّنَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced, your Lord has announced in an explicit way, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Thanksgiver will receive and more. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you disregard, if you destroy what you will have in turn a very harsh punishment. It's not joke. The source of kindness and compassion in the universe is talking in this way. So Ali ibn Abi Talib provides an interpretation for this and says one of the skill human beings are in need to know how to treat, how to receive the divine blessings. Would you like to have more?
Everyone does.
Or would you like to cut, to block? إِذَا وَصَلَتْ إِلَيْكُمْ أَطْرَافُ النِّعَمْ فَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا أَقْصَاهَا بِقِلَّةِ الشُّكْرِ. Very beautiful. إِذَا وَصَلَتْ إِلَيْكُمْ أَطْرَافُ النِّعَمْ. Sometimes you see the beginning of the divine blessing. It's not divine blessing coming to you. Don't hurry. Wait. You receive some part, one side, you abusing, misusing. إِذَا وَصَلَتْ إِلَيْكُمْ أَطْرَافُ النِّعَمِ. When you receive a part, the beginning of the divine blessings which are coming. فَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا أَقْصَاهَا بِقِلَّةِ الشُّكْرِ. Let the rest come to you. How? Be thanksgiver. And by thanksgiver, I Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Shukran Lillah. And then, how do you use it? Selfishness? Putting in a very limited way, gathering, collecting, practical and oral thanksgiving to you to consume in a way that he expects you, he asks you. If you provide negligence, if you disregard, if you always look at the empty side of the glass, when you look at this glass, is it full or empty? Tell me. You see, is it full?
No.
Some people say one third full, some people say one third empty.
Exactly. Based on your personality. You will provide me different answers. Why? Sometimes you get used to see the empty side, only empty side of your life. I do not have this, I do not have this, I need to try for this. And what do you have? Nothing. I'm the poorest. I don't know what happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me under such pressures. Then what do you have? One of the fellows, one of the followers of Ahlul Bayt came to salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, the 10th Imam. And he was coming, having in mind to complain about hardship of life and shortage of income and things like that. He was preparing himself to say, you know, what should I say to receive something? When he entered the house, well, why don't you provide for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you? That man started. He became very angry. Imam. Wait. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted you faith, and with this you're burned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you satisfaction not to beg. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted you the blessings of knowing Ahlul Bayt. A windows toward an ocean of lights. Have you provided thanks for this? Then Imam asked his servant, give him gold, dinar. Imam met his needs, but he wanted to elevate his understanding. We need to learn to know, to see the position of the divine gifts in our lives. There are many. But it is, brothers and sisters, to learn not to see the blessings. Imam says that if you just disregard, neglect what you are given now, while you are sitting here, you're full of blessings. If you learn not to see this, if you neglect, then you will cut, you will block. This is another one.
Thank you, Dr. Shamily. We only have about 2 or 3 minutes left maximum.
Okay.
So, two people waiting to ask questions. Quick question, quick answer, okay?
Your state to mention, لَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنْ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ makes a question on my mind. We see some people who are very rich, they are comfortable, they have comfortable life, and until the end of their life, I mean the death, they are in blessing. We didn't see any displeasing in their life materially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick, Dr. Sean.
Okay. It depends. How do you define blessings, blissful and not being blessed? Okay.
So
it depends on this first. First, you need to know how do you define what is blessing. And sometimes Imam Mujtaba, the second infallible Imam, says, keep in mind that whatever you collect, you try for in a hard way to just collect money, wealth. And you believe that I'm just enjoying having luxury and best type of accommodation, dressings, job, income, meals,
now
whatever.
Cars.
Okay. Keep in mind that you are not able to eat and to drink one more drop more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predetermined for you. And for the rest, you are the collector and treasurer for your generation. And they eat.
Thank you. I think that was very good. Okay, Ali, quick.
I'm so sorry to disrupt you in this sensitive situation, but could you please tell us, is there any best situation, I mean best methods to help us to gratify our past and put us in new life, help us in future?
Always, Imam Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib tells us that the wise person is the one who looks into the past, but is not stuck with the past. You need to look into the past, take the lesson, use it for your future, for your present and for your future. Why? You have to repeat the same mistakes. So addressing his son, Hassan ibn Ali, he was saying that, you know, don't repeat their mistakes. Just take the lesson. You need to go back and study. Okay. The story of the ancient, even ancient nations. And Sunnatullah and the divine tradition is to repeat in the past.
Dr. Shamili, thank you very much. Now, time is up. One sentence, one advice, that's it. One sentence.
Okay. There are many, many things that are regarded as secret.
Okay.
Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says that you are in need of one skill in terms of secrets of your life. You know, there is a part that you call it my privacy. My privacy, okay? He says, okay, sirruka asiruka. Your secret is your capture, okay? فَإِنْ أَفْشَيْتَهُ سِرْتَ أَسِيرَهُ. If you talked about your secrets with other people, you become the capture of other people.
Thank you, Dr. Shamili. That was a good advice. Thank you, guests, for being here. Thank you, Dr. Shamili, for being here as well.
Thank you,
dear viewers, for watching this program. This is Islam and Life. We enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And my advice is always, think beautiful to live beautiful. Bye-bye.
And I wish you all the best of luck and say that this was a part, not all.
Thank you. In the name of God, welcome to Islam and Life. Today we're going to talk about Islam and social relations. Now, Islam has a guide and an answer to everything. So we would like Dr. Shamili to explain the aspects in terms of Islam. So before we start, I would like to welcome our guests for being here, and also Dr. Shamili, our special guest. Thank you and welcome for being here.